Now let's keep the show going. So, Ryan, you have a question, sir.
For Scott Metzger, I was wondering why you decided on your particular business model instead of going another route and just doing maybe a brewery where you could sell everywhere instead of doing a brew pub like you do, and you're limited to your four walls. And also, have you thought of any loopholes? Like, we all know that people think of all these loopholes, right, in government. Have you thought of any loopholes to get around the restrictions in Texas?
To your second question first, yeah, we've looked everywhere. You can ask my employees. I'm a little bit of a control freak. So the loopholes involve me giving up more control than I'd be willing to give. I can get my sister to open a brewery, I don't trust her. To your first question, why did I do this? Well, you remember when I mentioned I was crazy and a little overconfident. I knew when I started this business that I wanted to start as a brew pub, develop my local market, and then start distributing, and then become the next statewide or nationwide concern. And I did this knowing fully well that it was against the law. I was confident that I could change the law, and I feel better about that today than I did 2 years ago. But I think democracy does work, and I think we have a great argument, and the argument is on the side of craft beer, why we need to make these changes. And I'm thankful that we have elected officials who are open-minded and willing to listen and willing to go out on a limb and try to make the changes necessary to see businesses like mine succeed.
Another question from the floor, sir?
Yeah, I was kind of off, but kind of similar. I don't know if you're familiar, I'm sure many of you are, of Goose Island Brewery, a great brewery out of Chicago that was bought recently by AB InBev, the parent company of Budweiser. And it's kind of I don't know if I want to call it a trend, but something I'm noticing where people think something like Blue Moon is considered craft beer. What's your opinion as far as what you see, like maybe like the big giants like Budweiser buying up all these little breweries and trying to cash in on, even though it's a small, but it's definitely a growing market.
That goes to Travis.
Yeah, there's actually been a big some furor over that recently. The Brewers Association, which represents the so-called craft brewers in America, came out with a statement against faux craft, they called it, and that would be like Blue Moon. Now, that's not to say, I'm not judging one way or another that, say, Blue Moon, or which is a Miller Coors product, is bad or good. You either like it or you don't like it, but it doesn't say that it's owned by them. There's Anheuser-Busch InBev products that don't say that that's the that's where it comes from. The big issue with that is, from a consumer standpoint, the issue is that the people that make them are offering the same kind of sort of price incentives, some legal and some illegal things that are done sometimes to shove these products and to take more and more shelf space. That's a big battle. Just at if you go to your grocery store, the battle over how much shelf space you get. I mean, you can see 15 different packages on the same beer, different, because if you're going to drink this bottle in a 12-ounce can, then, but some other consumer may not like that same beer in a 12-ounce can. Maybe they want it in a 24-ounce bottle. Or maybe they'll only buy it if it's in an 18-pack suitcase and so it just goes on and on forever. But what happens is that with some of these faux craft beers, they're talking about SKU fatigue, and SKUs in the retail business are just like codes, right? For for different things. So for every single beer, every package size, even if it's the same contents inside, is another SKU. So you put another craft beer on the shelf, it gives you another SKU. So a Blue Moon comes in, a Shock Top, or you know, one of those, they end up shoving out the other craft beers and taking over more and more and more space that the big guys already have. And so they go, oh, no, we already have enough craft beers. We're not going to take your beer that's made three blocks away from our store because we've already got, you know, we've already got these craft beers. Well, maybe they don't. And so it's really quashing. The strategy is to quash demand for actual craft beers to keep them from growing.
Yeah, from the perspective of a craft brewer, I say bring it on. I remember when I said I was crazy and a little overconfident. I say bring it on. I think my wheat beer is better than anyone else's. But what I have a problem with is, anything I consume, I just want to know the truth about it. If it's genetically modified, put it on the label. I might still buy it, but I just want to know.
I had a question just on, you're talking about the three separate areas. They got the brewers, the distributors, and the stores and bars. Has there been any effort or any focus on trying to get a co-op distributor, some sort of independent distributor? I mean, what's blocking that where you could just say, okay, all these microbreweries in San Antonio can form a co-op and then get become a distributor that way?
It would violate the law for brewers to have an interest in a distributorship, but I would say that there exists independent distributors like GLI who already fill this niche. You know, I think y'all are one of the largest non-affiliated distributors in the U.S., right? So these businesses already exist, and anybody can start a distributorship, and that's one of the great things about the marketplace is that, you know what? If I don't like my options, if you, Joe Public, I don't like the way my distributors are serving my area, you can jump into business and be a better distributor than those guys, and I think that's fantastic.
Representative Villarreal, a lot of a bill's success depends on it being scheduled for a vote on the full floor once it makes it out of committee. Do you have an idea of how the leadership of the House feels towards these bills?
My sense is positive. We are in the House. We're trying to lay some groundwork to get the right folks to sign on to the bill. A lot of time was spent in encouraging the chairman of licensing, the committee that oversees the beer laws, to be the main author. He is an enthusiastic author, so that was a big accomplishment for this session. He's filed the legislation just this week. It will be referred, if it wasn't referred today, it will be referred on Monday to the committee that will hear the legislation, and we're hoping that will take place within the next 14 days.
Along with Chairman Smith, we have a great leadership team who is signed on the bill. Representative Villarreal is a chairman. Patricia Harless is signed on the bill. She is a chairman. So we have some great leadership who's already on our team, and that's great and amazing.
Yes, thank you. And this is primarily for you, Mike Villarreal. The thing that we've talked a lot about the laws that prevent these microbreweries from operating and from being successful or being competitive. Could you describe in layman's terms exactly how these laws prevent the microbreweries from functioning? Why are the microbreweries not allowed to compete directly with the major facilities?
Good question. So the laws, the framework for our regulatory system can be summarized in an idea of three tiers. three different types of organizations. You're either a manufacturer, or you're a distributor, or you're a retailer. The idea of a micro, of a brew pub is kind of a hybrid idea, right? They're manufacturing and they're a restaurant. They're both. In the beginning, there was no such thing. We've had to amend the law to allow for a micro, a brew pub to even exist. That happened, when did that happen, Scott?
What year?
93. 1993. When I graduated from college, it was a great year. So that was an evolution in the system, but since then there hasn't been much change. And when they wrote that exception, they were very rigid in defining what they what that looked like and what that operation could do. And so today we're still living pretty much with this very rigid three-tier system that doesn't allow folks like Scott to branch out and expand. And he cannot sell to a distributor. The law, that is illegal. He is not allowed to sell to a distributor. Because technically, I mean, if you look at his capacity, they in terms of the law, he's more of a retailer. And so that's one thing we want to change. A microbrewery today cannot sell product to customers that come and take a tour of their facility. Not allowed. Because that would make them look kind of like a retailer. And the law is very strict in saying you're either a manufacturer or you're a retailer or you're a distributor. And so these very hard, fast separations between these, what today is now pretty complicated organizations that kind of straddle the line, is what we're trying to change.
When I was in high school, Central Catholic, where you went to school, we used to be able to walk down to the Pearl after school and get free beer. can we do that again? Okay, no answer.
They don't make beer there anymore. You can get a croissant. Maybe.
Okay. All right, got more questions from the floor. Yes, sir.
I guess I have a very simple one. As a beer enthusiast, a home brewer and all that, what can we do to help to make it better for everybody else?
That's a great question. So here's the basic math in politics. The basic math in politics is that there's power in numbers. And the reason why we've made as much progress as we have is really because of the enthusiasm of the consumers of beer, really. In fact, when I filed, so here's a bit of the backstory. In 2011, Scott and Joey and Jim at GLI sat me down and said, you know, we think we could make another run at this, and we'd like you to file the legislation. I explained to them, this is going to be really hard. You know, there's this big interest group, and all they do is focus on this piece of our law books, and they watch it like hawks. And they go to everybody's fundraisers. And during the session, they're in the galleries. We call them the Beer Brothers. There's three of them. You know, one is old, one is young, one is tall, one is skinny. They're just sort of a funny mix. In any case, the Beer Brothers. They're in the gallery every day, watching us. They are there. If we go till 2 a.m, they are there in the gallery. All they do is protect the status quo. And so I tried to explain how hard this was going to be, but they signed me up and I became a participant in this movement. When I filed the bill, I I went towards managing other pieces of legislation, and we were putting together a schedule on kind of how we're going to promote this bill. And then all of a sudden, I was getting all of these calls and Google alerts with my name on it, and it was because bloggers were writing about the legislation. And then Scott was organizing press conferences on his own. It's like, what's going on? Because typically when legislators file bills, it's like our bill. It's not anybody else's bill. We control it. But this bill had a life of its own, and it just took off. And the reason why was because of folks like you here today. There is a movement, and you guys need to continue being a part of it, and you need to sign up more of your friends and family members. Because as I said in the beginning, the reason why we are going to eventually win on this issue is because thousands of us all across the state want change. These laws don't fit with our value system, and we are telling legislators about it. And we're finding partners in smart, innovative companies like GLI, beer distributors, who are willing to break the old coalition and form a new coalition with us.
And this is actually a very conservative idea. You know, if people who say the government that governs best governs least, then let's get big government out of the way of me drinking beer. So let's go back to the floor.
This is just a follow-up to your answer about the three-tiered system. Does that apply to manufacturer, retail, distributor? Does that apply to anything you make or just alcoholic beverages? If I make shirts, can I not sell those directly?
Excellent. Very good. So if we substitute the word beer for pizza or shirt, right? This would milk. This wouldn't make any sense. Coffee. No, coffee is a stimulus. No, it only applies to beer, alcohol in general, other products. Wine had a real difficult time. We evolved their code, but beer is still stuck in the past. It's tied to prohibition. These laws come from the prohibition period.
I think if you substituted the word beer with any hydrocarbon product, you would never get elected. If you try to have a three-tier system for oil, you'd probably just be run off out of the country in general. So,
next question.
Hello, thank you for coming. And first, I'd just like to give a shout out to Alamo. But I'm wondering why I can't sample their beers here tonight. But and another one of my favorite local microbrews, the folks over at Ranger Creek, and some of the other. There you go. And so, in the last legislative session, I believe there was an effort to change the laws, and some of the efforts were successful and some were not. And I hear there's a difference between how wine vineyards and wineries, as far as distribution, the ability to sell on premises is different from how it is for microbrews. I'm wondering what passed, what was successful, what still needs to change, and what's holding up the process.
There hasn't been any successful pro-craft beer legislation since 1993, when brew pubs were legalized. In 2001. Wineries were granted the right to sell their beer to people who came and visit the winery, either drink wine on site, take a case of wine home with them, so on and so forth. But that's really the only really dramatic change in our alcoholic beverage code for the last 20 years. What's happened with wine is after that bill passed in 2001, that industry went from a tiny little industry in Texas, and now Texas is the fifth largest wine producer in the United States. The industry grew by 900% in 8 years.
Wow. All right, sir.
Thank you.
And I guess this is our final question.
Hey, Scott. So I had a question about, as a brew pub, if this legislation passes and allows you to go sell, you know, basically to retailers or distributors, logistically speaking, how do you go about producing as many kegs or bottles or cans as a lot of these production breweries that have upwards of 10,000 square feet or more of space that can store all this stuff on premise?
Well, I'm very short, so it gives me, if I can fit in more space. Now, Jason, my brewer here, this is my second joke. My brewer, Jason, doesn't know he's going to be working a lot of overtime. No, we would look into making a significant capital investment, you know, and I think there's a lot of capital investment that's sitting on the sidelines in Texas waiting to happen. I'm already kind of passively looking for space for another brewery to help us fulfill demand. We'd have to move into a bigger space, bottom line, and it's not cheap, but I believe in our product. And it's an investment I would make, which puts more people to work and puts more dollars into the Texas economy.
Any closing comments from anybody?
Well, I want to take a photo of the crowd, actually, to put on Facebook. So can you hold up your beer?
All right.
That looks awesome.
Yay, thank you.
Okay.
last closing comment for myself. I just want to reiterate that your support matters. Your voice matters. This is a movement. You know, writing to your legislator, your state rep, your state senator, writing to the Speaker of the House, who is from San Antonio.
Alamo Heights.
Well, but his district is in Bexar County. Really would matter. So I encourage you to do that.
Well, he's
Yeah, I want to encourage everyone, just like Chairman Villarreal said, write your elected officials and respectively let them know your opinion on this issue. But also go out and buy more Texas beer and support the breweries that are struggling in this current framework. And support the businesses that are in support of our legislation. You know, GLI has been a great partner. Silver Eagle is a great partner. Glazers is a great partner. These are distributorships who have went out and broken from the mold of those who would keep us down and support our legislation. So we support them, and I hope you support all of us.
Tim?
Very simply, I would just encourage everyone, as you probably already are, is to keep enjoying real, better beer. Read the labels, as someone brought up, and talk about that. Look at where the product's coming from. And there's a lot of better beers out there, and drink the real ones and enjoy them.
I don't want to end on a down note, but I do want to mention that it did take 10 years to get that law in 2001 passed for the wineries. They basically had to serve a lot of free wine to a lot of lawmakers at a lot of parties. And you know, and I think, you know, beer comes in all different strengths. They just need to serve stronger beers to the legislators quicker. But also don't underestimate the power, no matter how good it looks at the grassroots level, no matter how many voices are for it, no matter how good it is for the consumer or the taxpayer or for small business, do not underestimate the power of the people who have been giving money to people in the legislature for decades. They control an awful, awful lot. I overheard a lobbyist in Austin just a few weeks ago who's not in the beer industry, but they all talked to each other, and a legislator told him last year about the defeat, unfortunately not getting at your bills, not getting out of committee. He said, the guy told him, we just kept waiting for them, craft beer industry, to play the game, and they never would. So to a lot of people up there who have been getting elected year after year after year, it is a game, and it's a money game. I think this is the best chance. It has a much better chance than it did 2 years ago. But again, learn the lessons from the wineries. That patience is the key.
All right. That wraps up our panel discussion. Thank you all so much for coming. We appreciate it, and enjoy the beer.